All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to What the Fuck's Up podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Kelly.
And I'm your other host, Nina Barnett.
And today is the first day that we are going live with our season three. Three is one of my lucky numbers, so I'm feeling good about it, Nina.
Oh, really? Three is a good number.
It's a good number.
Good things happen in threes.
Yeah, except for living situations.
Oh, like roommates. I was like, are you talking about life?
Yeah, I don't like when I have, you know, another wife and a husband. Like, that hasn't worked for me in the past. You know, husband having two wives.
Yeah, I would say that's probably not the ideal.
Yeah. Nina, do you want to get into a little bit about what the fuck you've been up to? What the fuck we've been up to?
I mean, amen, sister. What the fuck have we been up to?
I'm curious for myself.
What have we been up to? Caitlin and I have been bonding a lot, but also just so life
much,
in general.
So much quality time.
So much quality
time. It's one of my love languages.
Oh, that makes sense for you.
Yeah.
I see that, honestly.
I need quality time. Yeah.
My love language is like... Well, it's kind of funny because it's definitely acts of service, but I also definitely am a physical touch person, which is hilarious because I also hate physical touch. I'm like, bleh. It's like, it's so funny. I always tell guys, I'm like,
yeah,
I hate cuddling. Cuddling's the worst. And then I'll be in bed with someone and I'm like,
Why aren't they cuddling me?
I'm so upset. And
I have so many opinions on cuddling where it's like, I think there's an exact formula of like, we cuddle for this amount of time and then like at some point in the night, like we are going to need to separate so I can breathe.
Yeah, I will overheat.
Yeah, and not like overheat or feel like I can't like move my arm without potentially waking someone. Like, no, that's claustrophobia.
We need to normalize that. I think literally everyone I've ever talked to feels the same way. Like, no one's actually going to sleep really well if you're like koala'd.
Absolutely not. Koala. I like that. Wait, so Nina just told me, and I said, save it for the pod, that she went on a date last night.
I did. It was one of those dates where I was like, is it a date? Is it not a date? I honestly have no clue. It was like a friend that I already had, and we're, you know, good friends. We always say we should catch up. But we were also getting drinks at like 9:30 p.m. on a Monday, which would be an aggressive friend hang.
Yes. Wait, on a Sunday.
On a, what day of the week is it right now? On a Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I'm also on comedy time, so to me that's really not that bad, but this person's not. And so I was like, I feel like it's more, but I don't know. I'm also one of those people that I'm like, our legs just touched and I'm freaking out, but I have no idea if they even noticed because they have thick jeans on. So like I really don't know. I walked away from it being like, maybe that was a friend hang. I don't know.
Was there a kiss?
There was not a kiss, but I'm also so awkward. I really am. I try my best. Yeah. I don't know, but I also feel like it's sometimes weird. Like one time I had a guy try to kiss me in a subway station and I was like, this feels wrong.
Okay. Well, gross. That's just like, dude, come on. Know your time and place.
I don't know. Do you kiss on the first date?
I do a lot of the time. Yeah. Is that bad? I'm just like, I want to see if they're a good kisser. Do we have kiss chemistry? Because if not,
that's
might as well save my time.
That's so true. A good kiss, like,
can make or break.
It really
can. Really make or break.
But yeah, there was not a kiss last night. There was a lovely hug, which apparently I'm also not good at. So I've heard from my comedian friends. They've been like, we need to work on it. It's bad.
Oh my God. That's really funny. I've never noticed that you're a bad hugger.
Thanks. Probably because we probably don't hug a lot.
We do hug.
Okay, we do hug.
We do hug.
No, but it's funny. I'll just, I'm bad with surprise hugs. Like if someone
you
comes
have
in,
to anticipate them.
Like, kind of.
You have to work up to them.
I don't know. I'm also so short. Like being short is an awkward place. Like if I hug someone, it's intimate. Because they kind of have to pick
me up.
Because
you're all up in it. Like it's just, I'm getting to know their body more than they're getting to know mine.
It's just, and my face like hits people in the chest generally. So
that's,
it's like,
so funny.
Except for Short King Spring. But then it's like our faces touch, I guess. But so I have no idea how this date, not date, was. I really don't. If he's listening, it's going to be, I guess, pretty obvious to him what I thought it was. But I'd like for it to be a date.
I mean, if he's listening, then it's more than a date, I would say.
I don't know. Some people just...
Or sorry, not more than a date, more than friends. Because it's like, you're doing the research, sir.
That's true.
Yeah.
You never know.
So, guys, we have some exciting stuff coming up for you this season. Today, we have on Maddie Drosbeck. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
G is silent.
Who is so fucking cool. She has been a YouTuber since she was really young. She does vlogging.
She's done like a bunch of really cool stuff just in general. She's also just a really cool human.
She is. She's really, really fucking cool. I'm so excited she's our first episode because I don't know. It's like we're coming out of the gate a little hot, but in a good way. We have some really fun conversations that you guys have to stay tuned for. She gives some really good advice on a fire, you know, nude you want to take for yourself, a significant other, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, and some other stuff. I won't give it all away, but yeah, she's a great guest. So we have that coming up for today. And then for the future, we've had some great conversations in our now studio, also known as Nina's apartment. But yeah, stay tuned. A lot of comedians that have been on.
We want to make you laugh.
We just want to make you laugh.
I don't know. I feel like the theme right now is like we want to make you laugh, but also
bring up your trauma.
Bring up your trauma and have good sex. Like, I don't know.
That's kind of like always been things that are important to me on the 20s, podcast. You know? So, you know, yeah, in your 20s, have good sex, work through your trauma, and giggle. So
and giggle.
That's our brand. And giggle, not laugh.
Wait, Caitlin, do you have any tea in your life right now?
Oh my God, do I have any tea in my life?
What the fuck have you been up to?
What the fuck have I been up to? Just working on myself, like becoming a really good person. That's been my main tea. I'm trying to think. The tea in my life. You're going to kill me because I feel like Nina's like, stop saying how old you are. But that's the new tea in my life is how old I feel. I went out till 4 a.m. on Friday.
Crazy.
And I was unwell the entire next day. Like, I was supposed to meet my friend at 2 p.m. 2 p.m. should be feasible. I was like, I will be there, but I can't promise I won't throw up in the bathroom. That's and it's dark. Crazy because I don't even feel drunk during the night. It's just like these hangovers are 10 times worse than anything I knew was humanly possible. So, yeah, the tea is that I'm starting to feel my hangovers a lot. Guys, Grandma I know I'm crazy.
Yeah, we're looking for those some like electrolyte company to sponsor us.
Yeah, guys,
we'll try it all.
Tell us all the hacks because the hangovers are really not it.
Apparently,
days.
Asparagus helps.
Really?
Yeah, like you know those days we've all been in those situations where you're sitting there and you're so hungover that you're googling how do I cure the hangover. You know, we've
yes,
all been there.
Yes,
like,
we've all been
looking
there.
For the newest remedy. And I read at least 15 articles once on asparagus.
What?
Like you should eat it the night before, which I know is risky.
Then,
but like,
do you have a, I can't speak, asparagus pee?
I do.
Smell? I do too.
But also,
apparently,
like,
it's a gene. I didn't realize that.
Well, I thought everybody got it.
No, not everyone gets it.
I want to meet it. Someone that
doesn't have asparagus,
right? If you don't get asparagus pee, please write in,
please,
because I want to meet you,
DM us,
and maybe
and
make
test it out. You're like, I will pay for your asparagus side dish and a drink.
Oh my God, I thought you were
and come into the bathroom with you after. or have you go to the bathroom and then check after.
In retrospect, it would be really weird if you tell me you have asparagus pee. But actually, please
there's
reach
no
out.
Verification,
I really want to talk to
but
this person.
Still reach out.
Like, how has your life been different than mine? Because honestly,
I love asparagus.
I do too. And it cures hangover. I don't know. It might be placebo, but now every time I have asparagus, I swear I feel better the next day.
I feel like you don't get hangovers though, which
yeah,
is
it is
rude.
A superpower.
What the fuck?
I'm like, I'll just like diddle around though at night to make sure that I've drinking like 8 bottles of water.
That's good. That's smart. I'm just like, I see the bed. We in the bed. We out.
And we out.
But yeah, thank you guys for tuning back in. We're sorry for making you wait so long, but we have recorded some really good episodes and we're really excited for you guys to listen. Please rate, review, subscribe, and tell a friend. And without further ado, here's today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What the Fuck's Up podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Kelly.
And I'm the other host, Nina Barnett. Oh,
you did that so well. And today we are joined by longtime and recently full-time YouTuber, Maddie Drawspeck. Maddie, how did I do on your name?
You did pretty well in comparison to most people.
I feel like that's always my first question on the podcast. I'm like, did I fuck up your name?
Yeah, you did a good job.
How do you actually pronounce it?
It's Drawspeck. The G is totally silent.
Drawspeck. Okay. Drawspeck. Yes. Good to know. First question, Maddie, what the fuck's up? How are you? Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah. So for people who don't know her, Maddie is a YouTuber. She's very sex and body positive, and she's been doing it since she was 13, which is insane. So I guess just to get into everything, how at 13 did you decide to like start being a YouTuber?
So I had made videos like my entire life growing up. I was always recording on my dad's like VHS camera, just straight onto old VHS tapes, making skits with my siblings, dances, all of that. It was just like such a staple of my childhood, was always making videos. And when YouTube came out, I think I was in like fourth grade, and I was like immediately obsessed with it. My whole life became YouTube as soon as it started becoming a thing. As soon as like big creators started to blow up on YouTube, I was right there watching all of them from way back in the beginning. And I started making like my own videos, like mimicking the things that I saw on YouTube when I was like 11. And I would post them on Facebook, because my parents were like weird about, they didn't want me to have a YouTube account, but they were on Facebook so they could see what I posted there. But I would get absolutely obliterated by all of my peers on Facebook. I was just getting like bullied for all of my videos. And so the summer after seventh grade, I like begged my dad to let me make a YouTube channel because I saw what other people were posting and the kind of communities that they had on there. And I wanted so badly to be a part of it. So he said yes. I started posting my videos on YouTube, and I like ended up meeting a ton of my friends through the experience as well, way back in like seventh and eighth grade.
The reception was totally different on the two different platforms. And it sounds like even at a young age, you like knew it would be that way.
Yeah, definitely. I think as soon as I started my YouTube channel, I had like an audience formed pretty quickly. At least for what it was like back then, I had 3,000 subscribers in the first year.
That's like
what year is this?
This was 2010.
Wow.
So that was like a good amount for a 13-year-old in 2010.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And what was the kind of content you were making or mimicking? Like, how did it, I can't imagine at that age, like garnering such a following. Like, were you messaging with these people? What did the community and the content look like back then?
Yeah, I was making music videos. So around that time, like music video YouTube was so big, like a bunch of kids just like fucking around with iMovie.
That's what I was doing, but I was
yeah.
I didn't do well, apparently.
Nina's like same, but very different.
Yeah, and there was like a huge YouTube like music video community back then. And we all used to do like collab channels. We would all post on different days. I met one of my best friends to this day. That year we like Skyped for the first time. She lived in New York, I lived in Massachusetts, and we made like a collab music video together on Skype, and to this day she's one of my best friends.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
also Skype throwback.
Yeah,
they really did not capitalize on the pandemic.
They really, like, that's actually so true. Where were they during Corona?
Yeah, I know. I saw some meme that was like Skype had a 10-year like head start and still fucked it up.
Well, it's also, I don't know, it's so interesting because, like, I feel like I was totally oblivious to this whole side of YouTube. And it's kind of like, it sounds like what TikTok is for teens now, you know?
Yeah. Except you had to edit the whole thing yourself. There was no app to help you.
There was no music syncing and all that. Yeah.
That's actually so real. But obviously, you are not doing these music videos anymore. You're has changed slightly. When do you feel like you made the shift into talking more about like sex positivity, body positivity, and those are kind of your main like subjects as of now, right?
Yeah, I feel like I, over the course of high school, I stopped making music videos and shifted more into vlogs. And then from like end of high school through college is when like body positivity and sex became a major part of my content. And then I feel like over the last 2 years is really when I've solidified, this is my style, this is what I talk about, this is my thing. But it's really been like a lot of experimentation up until like the last 2 years.
And at this point, how many you've like an insane number of subscribers. I guess it's subscribers, not followers.
Yeah. Yeah, right now I have a little over 200,000 followers.
That's awesome. And how do you interact with them and like keep it a community? Are there certain things like, is it you responding to them or what are they responding to most, I guess, about your content?
I think that in a lot of my vlogs, particularly, I'll sit down and just sort of have like these long-winded conversations, similar to if we were just, you know, hanging out at a sleepover and I'm telling you about this thing that I'm going through in dating or with my body image. And I'll just sit and talk to my camera and go through everything about what I'm feeling. And I found that like this total transparency and like just showing up as my authentic self and really speaking to the camera as if I'm speaking to one of my friends who's just at my apartment drinking wine. It's really connected with people, and I think people will listen to my videos and they'll feel like they have like they really are sitting there talking with me, and people will respond in the comments to what I'm saying in like super in great depth as if we are sitting next to each other on the couch just drinking a bottle of wine together and talking. And so I think the conversations in my videos sort of get continued video to video, and I'll respond to what people say. I'll, you know, I take suggestions a lot of the time. So when people ask me, okay, I love what you had to say on this, I'd love to hear what you have to say on this topic instead, like it all sort of like weaves into each other from one video to the next, based off of like the back and forth that happens in the comments after each video.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And also as someone who, you know, has been podcasting for a bit and has done solo episodes, it's hard. So your ability to make like hour long solo, you know, YouTube videos, I think deserves major props. But Nina, do you want to ask?
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask too, because I know you talked about it a little bit earlier, but how do you feel like, you know, you said you were bullied a little bit when it was posting on Facebook and, you know, you experienced bullying when you were younger. How do you feel like that has fed into, because you're so confident and you, I mean, you like radiate confidence, which I think is awesome and not everyone has. And so how do you feel like you kind of were able to turn that around? Because I know even just being in any kind of social media or public type of facing role, there's always going to be haters and all this stuff. So how do you feel like you've, you know, been able to either A, tune it out or just, you know, work with it?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, I feel like, so the entire time that I've been making videos, I've always had people not like them for whatever reason, whether if it was my classmates or now there's like a bunch of random people who decide to really not like me for whatever reason.
Why are they watching? Like, go away. Go somewhere else. Watch something else.
It is. Right. Like, you do know it's optional to watch this, right?
People are hate watching, but they're still watching.
The highest engagement.
Exactly.
Yeah, literally.
Right. Yeah. But I feel like a large part of why I've been able to keep, you know, pushing through it and making content for all these years, despite there sometimes being some challenges in the types of feedback I get from people, largely has to do with the fact that, like, I have an amazing community of people around me. So, yeah, I got bullied as a kid, but I always had, like, an incredible friend group. My family's very supportive of what I do. And so I feel like I've always had a ton of support from people around me who, when I get these nasty comments, I can run to sobbing and they'll be like, I'm here to listen. And like to this day, I'm very sensitive. I cry about comments all the time.
Well, you're a Pisces, so.
Yeah, I'm very much a Pisces. And I get my feelings hurt reading things that people say about me on the internet all the time. I feel like I've done this for a long time and I've gotten better at it, but I still wouldn't say I'm good at it. And I don't know if I want to be good at it. Like, I don't know that I want to be good at reading horrible things about myself and not reacting. I kind of think it's good that I have a reaction.
Yeah, it's like you're a human, not a robot.
Yeah. So like, it's definitely gotten easier to manage as time has gone on, but yeah, it's for sure something that I'm still impacted by, depending on what the comment is. Obviously, like these, you know, very juvenile hate comments about my body, those really don't bother me because that has been like a lifetime of hearing people, you know, try to insult my body, and I really am very comfortable with myself. So I could care less if some anonymous 14-year-old thinks that I'm the most horrific looking thing on the planet. Like, I don't care.
These 14-year-olds, they should be the ones whose parents are not allowing them to have a YouTube account.
Yeah, and because the thing is that it's always somebody who's completely anonymous who won't, like, stand by their opinion of me, so, which is why I know that it's not worth taking into account. Like, I'm totally open to people having genuine critiques of me, but most of the time it's not a genuine critique. It's just someone wanting to be a fucking asshole.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
I like how you said, though, that, like, you're not infallible. I think it's important for people to admit that it, you know, it still can take a toll on you. Obviously, you have to build up thick skin over time, but, you know, you can be confident and get through these types of comments, but they can still have an impact on you. Because I think some people have this idea that, like, once you get to a certain level or you have a certain number of followers, that you're going to be kind of above it all and not be hurt by these things that are just, like, hurtful at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I do want to talk about one of your most viewed videos, which is how you gave up dating for a year, because this is definitely a bold choice. I mean, I can't imagine it. Nina and I were talking about, we're like, what if she has a crush on someone? Did she have to, like, do it under the radar?
Yeah, because I feel like I'll be like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm giving up dating and I'll delete all the apps and I'll do it. And then, like, a month later, I'll see a cute guy and I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, maybe we'll just go back.
But yeah, what informed that decision and what was that like? Like, what did you learn? All that stuff.
Yeah, so I decided to take a year off dating because dating was going horribly.
Well,
relatable.
I was like, this isn't fun. I'm like happier when I'm single and not dating. And I just feel like I'm going through the same thing over and over again, where I am dating people and feeling like I'm being totally honest with people, but then I'm not ever getting the reciprocity that I want. I feel like, you know, I'm always ending up with people who say that they're not ready for a relationship or something's always going on. Like, there's always some sort of reason. And I was like, oh my God, this is happening over and over on a loop. I just need a mental break from all of this. And also, I want to dig into myself a little bit here and try to figure out, like, am I showing up as my honest self? Am I having any part in attracting these types of partners? Like, I want to sort of dig into what it is that I want in a partnership and how I can actually stand up for myself there. Because I think that I had known what I wanted and I always had, you know, at least tried to stand up for myself. But I think that I was struggling with a lot of insecurities connected to dating that sometimes held me back from setting my boundaries in a way that, like, actually helped to protect me. And I felt like sometimes I was overly forgiving of people, that I ignored red flags because it was easier to just keep dating someone than to say, no, I'm cutting this off. This isn't enough for me. It was easier for me to be like, oh, well, there's potential here. This can turn into something. And I, like, could see myself doing that, and I could see myself, like, trying to show up for myself, trying to set boundaries, but then not really doing that. So I wanted to take a year off dating to get closer with myself and to figure out, like, why is it that I'm actually dating? What is it that I actually want to get out of this? And how can I better show up for myself in the dating process?
If you think about the idea, and obviously it's changing throughout the years, but like settling down, literally settling is in the word. Yeah. So it's really cool that you're able to like recognize that within yourself and like take the steps to kind of combat that, because I think it's something that people really fall into.
Yeah.
And women in particular are so bad about being like, this is what I'm looking for. It's always like, are they interested in me?
Yeah.
Totally. And I feel like for a while I was really afraid of saying exactly what I wanted and needed, because I didn't want to seem like I was too needy or that I was asking for too much. Like I did care more about being liked by my partners than actually having my needs totally satisfied. I was more willing to compromise and to be upset, you know, in silence, in private, than to bring it to the forefront and say, this is what I need out of a relationship. You either can offer this to me or not. You're either ready for this or not. And that's that. That was too scary for me. I didn't want to do that. And yeah, I was too afraid of coming off as too needy to my partners. So I just didn't speak up for myself a lot of the time.
Yeah. So like, I mean, for me, I was raised in the South, so I have a lot of friends, like, just in general, a lot of people get married earlier, like that kind of thing. And a lot of them honestly have been in relationships forever. And whenever I go home, I'm like, oh, I'm the single friend. Like, that's me. And then, and so I think one of the things that I commend about you is I was like, oh my gosh, like, I always think about taking a year off dating. I've read like 500 books on why I should do that. But then I like freak out about, well, what if that like shortens my time? And then like a year goes by
and I haven't dated anyone,
you know? And so like, what, I guess one of the questions I want to ask is, I mean, I'm sure you feel like you didn't necessarily lose time or anything and it's so worth it. But you know what, I would love to just hear from your words, like why it was so worth it to like, you know, do you feel like you now can communicate everything that you want to say? Like, do you now feel like you don't hate dating? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Has it changed the way you show up for dating? Yes. Yeah.
100%. I feel like I started dating again in January. So it's been like almost 4 months. And I feel like dating this time around, though it still is awful, you know, like the pool of people that are out here didn't change.
Really?
I feel like
they didn't also take a year off and work on themselves.
Yeah. We're just working on getting them
therapy. I feel like men are starting to put on like their dating app profiles, like goes to therapy. I'm like, I don't believe you until I see the work myself.
I'm like, prove it. So it's like, although, you know, it's still awful, it's not like I took a year off dating and suddenly everything is great. It still sucks. Yeah. But I feel like what is different is now I find it a lot easier to show up for myself and to set my boundaries. Mm-hmm. I've been on quite a few dates this year that they wanted to see me for another date. And I was like, appreciate that. I don't really see a connection here. Good luck to you. And I felt really good in doing that. Because before, I have never been on one date. It always turned into two dates, turned into three dates. I had never gone on one date with someone and had that be that. Because I think I always saw potential in someone. We had a good conversation. Maybe they said something that indicated to me that they weren't looking for a serious relationship. But in my head, I was like, it doesn't matter. We can fix that. We can change this.
Change
like,
them.
I'm so great. Like, of course they're going to want to be with me. Even though it's like they said something that maybe should be an indicator here that this isn't turning into that. Yeah. And so I feel like I've just been doing a lot better at setting my boundaries and standing up for myself. And when things are progressing with someone and something doesn't feel right, I'm a lot quicker to call it out and be like, let's have a conversation about this. This feels off to me. I'm not feeling totally like secure in this moment right now. And just like opening the floor and being vulnerable. I feel like before I was just, I would pretend that I was okay. I would pretend that I was satisfied. I would pretend that I was comfortable with doing the casual thing, in doing a lot of dates and not getting a lot of effort back in return, I would pretend that I was okay with all of this. I would minimize myself just to avoid seeming needy. And now I don't give a fuck. I am the least casual bitch on the planet. If you're going to date me, get used to it, because this, I'm not going to pretend that I'm okay with this shit anymore. Like, I'm looking for something serious. I want someone to reciprocate that. And if you're not looking for the same thing that I am, then that's cool. We don't need to date. Like, I just had the greatest year fucking ever. The best year of my life was the year that I took off dating.
Dating yourself,
like,
was the best so far.
If you're not going to add to this, then I'm good. I'm all set here, you know?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, I think also it's one of those things where it's like our society has romanticized the idea of the chill girl. And I'm like, I honestly don't know a chill girl. Like, I was like, I have a lot of really chill friends, but like none
but
of them
at the end of the day, they're not
actually.
No, I was like,
no.
I like hang with the guys. Like, I'm in comedy. Like, I love
she's
sports.
The cool girl,
like,
what she's
I'm like, cool, but I am so opposite of chill.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like debatably like upper high maintenance. Like, so
Like, well, because it's like, I feel like the like stereotype or like the image of a chill girl is someone who is actively compromising their needs and being like, I don't care about anything. And it's like, well, that's a lie, because we all give a shit. We all care whether it's secret or not.
Yeah.
So it's just like, are you willing to own the shit that you care about or no?
Definitely.
Because if you want to be in a serious relationship with someone, at some point you have to start owning the shit that matters to you and communicating that.
Yeah. And I think it's so cool how you're talking about also, like, I don't know, really owning what you want and not going on the second date just to get the second date. Because I think a lot of us do that without even like actively thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, it seems easier. It's almost like avoidant behavior. It's like the idea of taking that into your hands and being the one to reject someone or, you know, not give them another chance. Like, we're such people pleasers that we'll just like end up doing this till the end of time. It's like, if you know what you want and you're holding yourself to that standard, you're actually being like accountable and saving that person and yourself the time.
I know, I'm guilty of that.
I'm really guilty
of that. Because I have like, I mean, for me, I've always done this, you know, 3-date rule, because what if they're super nervous or like their fish died or something on our first date? And so like, I don't know. I didn't want to go like too deep. I didn't want to say like their mom died. Like, I hope they wouldn't be on a date.
Their fish died. I heard fish eyed.
Oh, fish eyed.
Which is,
that
can also be weird.
Yeah, but like, we don't have to. But, but like, it's one of those things where I'm like, you know, you never know what circumstances, but you know, on the other hand, if it's kind of meh, maybe I should just
I know. Yeah, it's hard to know sometimes. I guess, well, what you're talking about also, and we should kind of, you know, make this clear, it sounds like you're talking about more like actively avoiding the red flags than like, you know, having a fine time. You're actually paying attention to like things they're saying that are not compatible with you and your values.
Yeah,
so yeah,
definitely. Because I feel like before also, it was like, I was constantly ending up with people who wanted something casual. And I'm like, hello, when did I say that? I did not want that. I'm okay with not having that. So now I'm like, I make it very clear, like, I am looking to date. I am looking to go on dates with someone and see if there's something serious here. And that is all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for anything casual. If we're not something serious, we're nothing, you know?
Totally. Like, and will you say that, like, on the first date?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I have it, like,
nice.
On
That's
my
really
dating
cool.
profile. I'll say it to their face when I see them.
Yeah. That's
Do you have a favorite dating app?
Hinge notoriously has been my favorite, but it's been very disappointing lately, so I might have to revoke that. I don't know.
Hinge, we're taking away your sponsorship. No. it's been tough out there, but I think that's really cool, because it obviously, like, you know, we're talking about confidence and stuff, but, you know, a lot of people talk the talk but don't walk the walk, and to be actually like putting that on your dating profile and not being worried about, you know, people swiping left or whatever. It's like, well, the right person's going to swipe right.
Right.
And you want to align in that way, you know, before you're even meeting them. Like, why bother if they're going to just like end up wasting your time for something you don't want, you know?
Totally. And like, I hope people that aren't interested in something serious swipe left. It makes it a lot easier for me when you just automatically don't talk to me, you know, like don't even waste my time on the app. I want people to swipe left. Like I want to have less matches, and I want the matches that I do get to actually be, you know, for there to actually be a potential of an actual connection happening there.
Guys, Maddie has solved the paradox of choice. Just actually say what the fuck you want. Yeah. And don't lie about
genius.
Actually genius. Okay, so now we're going to move into Core Life Qualms, which is kind of more the like 20-something section of the podcast, since technically that is the theme. So for the first question, how's your path similar to or different from the one you anticipated for yourself when you were younger or just graduating from college?
You know, it's funny because I feel like what I'm doing right now is exactly what my 13-year-old self thought that I was going to be doing. I did think that it was going to happen sooner than it did. I like didn't want to go to college. My dad was like, no, you're going to college, Maddie. I wanted to just make YouTube videos. I wanted to live in New York and make videos. And he was like, well, how are you going to make money doing that when you have like nothing established? And I was like, oh, I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. And so I feel like my dad was always the one who was like, okay, you need to be a little realistic here. I went to college for film. I had two different jobs doing media and influencer stuff for brands after college. And I only just quit my 9-to-5 in December. So it was just a few months ago.
So exciting. Congrats, mazel.
Thank you. So it definitely was not the path that my younger self wanted for myself, but I do think that it all has actually been really beneficial for me. And I'm glad that I went to college and that I had those jobs post-grad, because I think that number one, it helped a lot being able to work on like the influencer side from the brand perspective, because now that I'm working for myself, I know what people charge. I know how to pitch myself. I really don't need a manager because I can do all of this on my own, because I have the like experience that not a lot of other content creators have. And I also just think that it helped with my work ethic a lot and helped like just develop that side of myself, so that now I'm working for myself and it is going well. So it's definitely not the path I originally envisioned, but I do think that it was all for the best, because it has helped me do the job that I always wanted to the best of my ability.
Yeah, I love how it aligns for you. It's like, I mean, we all want, at the end of the day, I feel like your actual passions are, you know, what you have when you're younger, before people tell you no and before you experience that rejection a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting that you were able to do that. And yeah, having the experience on the other side is so helpful, because knowledge is power. And I know like that's something that I've struggled with as a creator at times, like knowing how, you know, how to advocate for myself or how much I should be charging, because there is kind of this like, don't ask, don't tell vibe. Yeah. And to be on the other side of it and actually like know how people are pitching themselves, know what works, know what doesn't, like that must be so helpful for where you're at now. So yeah, congratulations on that.
What is one of your favorite parts of being in your 20s?
Right now, I'd say that like one of my favorite parts of being in my 20s is living alone with my cat and having like no real, like everything in my life is up to me right now. I don't have any, you know, I have responsibilities, but I don't have any like big responsibilities, like no children. I don't have anybody that I'm like reliant on. It's just me. I only have to worry about myself and my cat. And so like this period of life where I just get to live alone and focus on myself as the center of my universe, that's so much fun.
Living alone is a fucking game changer. It really is.
Everyone should, honestly. Like, at some point in your life, like, everyone should live by themselves.
Yeah, just to get to know yourself at that level. And it sounds like it all kind of ties into each other, too. Like, all these themes we've been touching on, kind of, like, you've really learned to, like, sit with yourself and love yourself. And I think living alone, if you're going to make it enjoyable, that's like a huge part of it. So yeah, that's awesome. Okay, what is something difficult that you dealt with in your 20s, and how has it shaped the person you are today?
I feel like when I reflect back on like my college self specifically, My body image has been something that I struggled with my entire life. And I feel like in college is really when I struggled with it in a way that was different from when I was younger. And I feel like it's something that I'm still sort of healing from. Mm-hmm. I think that being a plus size woman, I have really struggled to totally love and accept myself at times and to accept my body as it changes. I think like as my body was moving from like a, okay, I'm a teenager to now I'm an adult, and that phase of in between of what my body was going to look like and how other people were going to treat me, that was really tough. And I think that I have, you know, I've become very comfortable with myself and confident, but it was not an easy path to get there. And I think that in college particularly, I really struggled with like just wishing that I looked different and feeling like all of my problems would go away if I looked different. Whenever I got upset or have a bad day, just like convincing myself that if I was thin, that none of that would have happened to me and that the world would have been kinder to me, that dating would be easier if I was, that like anything that I wasn't happy with in my head could be boiled down to the fact that I was plus size. And it's taken a while to get out of that mindset and to, you know, not only feel more comfortable with my body, but even on bad days, like not speaking to myself like that. I think like reprogramming the voice inside my head has been probably like the most difficult part of learning to love myself, because it feels like, you know, obviously I'm still going to have bad days, even though now I'm way more comfortable than I once was. It's never going to be an everyday thing, because unfortunately the world isn't kind. And there are people online and offline who say things and treat me in ways that are totally connected to my appearance. And so I have hard days still, but the way that I speak to myself about them and the way that I show up and comfort myself about it all, I feel like has been like a major thing that I've learned throughout my early 20s. And just like really now I try to always speak to myself as if I'm speaking to the 13-year-old version of myself. This like young version of Maddie who is just like excited to be making videos and doing her thing and doesn't really understand that people are not going to be kind to you for the sole fact that you have a plus size body. Whenever I get into those moods where I just am having a hard time and I want to be unkind to myself, I always have to like sort of just reposition it and imagine that I am speaking to younger Maddie, because I would never say that shit to her ever. Yeah.
That's honestly so sweet and something we should all practice doing. I mean, yeah. It gets really hard at times to reprogram those types of thoughts, because also they're informed by your experience, they're informed by society. And I mean, it's horrible because it's like, I think for women especially, like most of the people I know have had those types of thoughts at some point, regardless of their exact body type. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's the same way with like super rich and successful people. It's like, well, if I was richer, if I was more successful, like there's always going to be something that you're lacking in, or you feel that you're lacking in, but to be able to change the way you're speaking to yourself, regardless of your circumstances, is really like what matters at the end of the day. And yeah. What will, you know, change the way you're showing up for people. So yeah, I think that's really cool that you were able to do that.
I agree. I think also, like, you know, in comedy, we always say, if you don't think your joke is funny, then why would anyone else think your joke is funny? And, but I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you can't love yourself and speak to yourself like in a loving way, then why would anyone else, you know, think too? And obviously people aren't, there's good people in this world, so people will, even when you won't, to yourself. But I think it's so important to remember, like, confidence is hot, and, you know, mm-hmm. that's, and I think that's something that you can see when someone is so confident. And I mean, like, I see it in you, like, there's so many people that when I see, when people are so confident, I'm like, what? damn, like, you know. And I think that's something that it's easy to see on other people, but it's also like, you know, such a great feeling when, you know, you finally wake up and you can look in the mirror and be like, damn. And so I think that's something that, you know, I know is a journey for everyone. And, you know, it's great to hear from your perspective too, because I know, I'm sure so many of your, like, the most loyal, you know, subscribers and fans of yours that have gone since age 13 to, you know, whatever, are probably, you know, have seen that journey, but also have probably been able to work on themselves too. So I just, like, commend you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. I think, like, the number one thing that I always try to remind people is just, like, to really be gentle with yourself and to practice compassion towards you, because it is, like, unreasonable to expect yourself to reach a point where all of a sudden you're confident 100% of the time and you never have a bad day, because, like, on top of the fact that it's just unreasonable, but it's like there are real people out there that are just going to be awful to you for no reason other than they don't like your body, because people are just, like, mean to fat people out there. I can't take that away, you know? Like, we can work on our confidence all you want, but there are, like, real world, like, structures and things going on that do make it harder to love yourself. It's more than just, like, oh, I mustered up the confidence. Like, there's a lot of larger problems that keep people confined to feeling like shit about themselves. And, like, the diet industry, for example, there's this whole, like, billion-dollar industry that just makes money off of people continuing to hate themselves. Like, there's a lot of money in this. The people make a ton of money making sure that you keep hating yourself.
Yeah. I've had companies reach out to me. I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's something
it's crazy.
I never buy into. Yeah.
And so I'm always like, you know, don't hold yourself to these unrealistic standards of thinking that one day you're going to have a good day and you'll never have a bad day ever again, because this is bigger than you and you don't need to blame yourself for that. Like, you're doing a great job. You're doing all that you can. And it is totally more than okay to have a bad day when there's so much awful people and awful shit happening in the world around us. Yeah, so, like, all you can do is be gentle and be compassionate with yourself and, like, accept that those bad days don't mean that, like, your progress is halted or that you're going in reverse. It's very human to be bothered by the things that are going on and to have bad days.
Yeah. And I think that's something that, you know, people struggle with in general, is kind of like all or nothing, black and white thinking. And so I do like that you keep highlighting that, like, you have good days and you have bad days.
I know that you're passionate about, like, everyone needs to know this, but you're passionate and, like, really good about, like, taking nudes and, like, I mean, you have a full videos, like, trying on lingerie, and I'm like, I want to post a video like this.
Yes.
Like, just give us some tips.
Yeah.
Like, just all the tips.
For girls in their 20s, how do we take a good nude?
Like, listen, I have some friends that better be freaking tuning in, because if I see another one of their nudes and it looks awkward, I'm going to cry.
No, real friendship is editing nudes for each other.
Yeah,
or being like, no, try this angle. You know, you'll look cuter. Yeah, but what's your favorite type of,
like nude 101?
Nude to take. Yeah, give us some nude 101.
There's, like, so many fun ways to take nudes. I feel like everyone takes them in the same exact way. They look the same person to person. And
What's a basic nude?
I just feel like everyone's always just, like, holding the phone out right in front of them and taking it like a selfie. And I'm like, we can up this. We can do this a lot more fun. And I think it makes the whole act of taking nudes more of, like, an artful experience. You start to feel like a work of art rather than just, like, I'm naked and sending this random photo to somebody and I hope that they it. Like, I feel like process of taking nudes is, like, I want it to be fun for me. This is fun for me to take, fun for me to look at. It's just, like, an extra luxury that you also get to see it. This is for me.
Yeah.
And so one of my favorite, more, like, fun ways to take nudes is a foggy mirror. right after you get out of the shower and the mirror is all foggy. It's very like seductive and a little bit of a tease because you can just see the outline. I like to zoom in like just on my chest. And so you see like the outline of my body and my boobs, but you don't actually get to see them. And so it's this fun little like playful back and forth of like, you can sort of see me, but you also can't. And it also seems very like natural. I just took this right out of the shower. So the foggy mirror is one of my favorite ways to take nudes.
That's
a great tip.
I can already see myself now just like turning the shower on high. Like, I'm like, my comedy brain works as like me in sweats, like waiting for the like mirror to steam.
Yep.
Okay, wow, that like elevates it. I feel like the best thing I ever did was like, I have a salt lamp and it makes like the room red. And I was yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, salt lamp.
Like that way of approaching it also makes it so empowering where you're like doing it for yourself and you're having fun with the experience itself. Yeah. Instead of just focusing on like, are they going to like it? Is it
totally
going to look good?
It's more creative. It's more fun. I have a whole series on my channel dedicated to different types of creative nudes that you can take because I was so like into, okay, well, how many different ways can I think up to take a fun nude that's better than just a selfie?
Iconic.
Yeah.
Truly iconic.
So iconic. Wow. That's amazing. Oh, and I guess the last thing before we get into the game, while we're talking more sex positive stuff, something you said that's amazing is that you masturbate before making important decisions.
Yeah.
You said that's something that you've
please
learned so far. Yeah, please. So are you using, is masturbation the manifestation? Like, how's that going on?
I think it just like helps to clear my head where it's like, I know that it's not horny brain making any decision. It's like, I'm making a choice because I genuinely want to and not because I'm horny. I feel like I just like, after I masturbate, I'm like, all right, we're back at like ground zero. Like we can like think clearly.
Beautiful.
This is the starting line. Like we can start fresh here. And I just need to have an orgasm in order to like clear out all of the brain fog and make a good
it's
decision.
It's scientifically proven to be like a really good
de-stressor. It also helps me like sleep. Like
it does. It helps me go.
It helps
that.
Me sleep. Like
yeah.
Oh yeah.
That is so smart.
That is really smart though. So do you do that a lot when it comes to dating as well?
100%. Well, there will be no decisions made until I masturbate when I'm dating
like,
someone new.
She is not sending that artful nude until she is masturbated.
Right.
And
absolutely.
About it.
Yeah, like do I actually
good.
Want to send this? Let's
this
masturbate. Find
out. Oh my god, that was my
next
favorite
gonna be
advice.
Like doing Wordles.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like, wait, what is my Wordle word gonna start with?
Oh my god, well, that's amazing advice and probably the most unique advice I've received on the podcast.
I love that. Honestly, that's what like guys should do that before they bet on sports bets. Listen,
totally.
Like sports,
that's actually
like,
so
sports
true.
Make me so horny just because I love sports. So I can't even
can't
imagine
really.
Like guys like are like next level with sports. So I can't even imagine like before they bet. I mean, like I don't want to see it, but like just as a just as an advice to
PSI
the male listeners.
Yeah, actually, that's amazing. Oh my gosh,
we're saving lives out here.
Saving lives. Yeah, it's very important work we're doing on this podcast. Okay, and to finish up, we're going to play a game called the 7T questions. So this is inspired by Vogue 73 questions, but we don't have time for 73, so we'll ask 7T. It's supposed to be rapid fire, but I had extra time in high school, so it doesn't always go that way. So feel free to be as rapid fire as you want. Okay, first question. Who is your celebrity crush now, or was it growing up?
Ooh, growing up, it was Zayn Malik. Right now, it's Lady Gaga. And that's really an always sort of thing.
I love that. Yeah. You said something about in one of your videos. I've been like listening to them in the background. They're actually like so soothing and lovely.
I know. You
yeah.
have a great voice.
You
I
really
love
do.
Your glassware. It's really rogue, but like your glassware is lovely. And like every time I'm like, I just want to clink your glassware with like wine.
Thank
oh
my
so
god,
much.
Amazing. That's so funny.
People are learning a lot about me right now.
Very much so. Well, they need to. You're the new co-host.
People
so
are like, who
is she? Now they know. Glassware girl. but yeah, you've talked a lot about Lady Gaga being like an inspiration to you in general. When did you start feeling like she was someone who is like a huge inspiration in your life.
Yeah, I've been a live or die Gaga fan since Just Dance came out. I have 3 Gaga tattoos. I've seen her every single tour that she's been on. She's like my absolute favorite. And I think it has a large part to do with the fact that like when I was growing up, being so young and being so uncertain and insecure with my body and who I was, she was such a loud and powerful voice, encouraging people to love who they were unapologetically and to show up as your authentic self. She always used to say that her concerts were like home for all the misfits. And every time I went to one of her shows, I felt like that. It didn't matter how rejected or bullied I was at school. Like I had a place here, and she always had just made me feel like that at a young age, that I had purpose and there was a place for me. And I just always was drawn to her because of that.
Yeah. She seems like such an amazing person. Yeah. She also, I mean, she went to a school that's, you know, kind of like sister schools, with the school I grew up going to. And I know that she was bullied a lot there. Like they had I'm sure you know this, but they had a Facebook group called like Why Stephanie, what's her last name?
Germanotta.
Germanotta, thank you. Why Stephanie Germanotta? I'm like Jericotti. Why Stephanie will never be famous. And it's so, yeah, it's actually so fucked up. And so that she could take that and then become one of the most famous pop stars of our time, like the Madonna of our century.
She's awesome.
Okay. If you weren't in New York City, where would you want to live?
Oh my God, you'd just have to euthanize me. I don't want to be anywhere besides New York.
Incredible. Ride or die, New Yorker, literally.
Wow,
that's
incredible. We love the dedication, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay, so this question is kind of a two-part, but how do you romanticize your life? I know you have like a video on this, but I think also with the whole like that girl thing that's going around on like TikTok and stuff, I think people are starting to think that romanticizing your life is being that girl. And I don't think that is, and I don't feel like you probably don't either. So how does someone romanticize their life, you know, like in their own way?
I feel like the best way to romanticize your life is just to zoom in, to like pay closer attention to the little things that you enjoy, that make your day good, like just to like have a closer eye at like the little things that make you happy and to celebrate those things in a bigger way. So like, I feel like I always use like skincare as an example because it's something that I love doing, but I feel like my like morning routine in general of like doing a little journaling, sometimes I'll meditate, doing skincare, like making myself a nice, good, healthy breakfast. Like these are things that, feel so romantic when you do them for yourself as if you're writing a love letter to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like these are things you enjoy. Let's make them extravagant. These are things that make you feel good. Let's do it even more. And so, yeah, I always think that it's just like zooming in and figuring out what is it that you love? What is it that makes you feel good? What are the little things in your day-to-day life that you enjoy that maybe you don't really think about the fact that you enjoy? And how can you make those bigger? How can you prioritize those things and do them more often?
Totally. And I think that's so great too, because it's like we see these things as being like super monotonous and things we just like have to go through, routines we have to do. And I think that's why people fall into these like patterns where they're like, ugh, I'm just doing the same thing every day, fuck it. And they're taking things for granted. And it's like a way of really actively like practicing gratitude for the small day-to-day things. So that's really awesome. Okay, if you had an alter ego, what would it be and why?
Interesting. I've never thought about this. I don't know. I kind of always hoped, this is really random.
I
like hope that in like another universe, in another dimension, there is a version of me that's an aerialist, like those people who do the like work on the silks up in the air. Like I feel like I would love if there was a version of me in a different dimension that existed where I was like that, like I was an Olympic gymnast or like an aerialist or someone that can do cool shit with their body. That is what I would hope for.
So I went to Northwestern and did theater there, and we had a class where we did, like, it was a circus class, and we did aerial
That's
work.
So cool.
It was actually so fun, but it's really hard. It takes a lot of body strength.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but I love that answer, too, because you're like, it's me still.
Yeah.
I'm just moving this way.
Yeah, exactly. Because, listen, it's never happening in this universe, in this dimension, in this lifetime. That's not happening for me. But if I could be reborn and do it somewhere else, then that's what I would want to do.
Maybe take a class one day, though. You never know.
Oh, I would die. You'd have to, like, come to my fucking funeral.
Yes. Okay, so what is an embarrassing or cringy experience you had when you were younger that you can laugh at now?
I feel like so much of what I posted on the internet when I was younger was cringy. I like all of my old videos are privated, but I will sometimes go back and watch them just to like laugh, because when I was younger, my talking voice sounded a lot different. Even a couple of years ago, like I was watching some of my videos from early college and my voice sounded a lot different then too. And I think it's just because like on camera, I would put on like a voice and I would do this like entertainer thing. And it's very uncomfortable to watch now, because in my head, I'm like, how many people that knew me in real life were just like watching me do this and said nothing? Like they would turn on my videos and I would have an entirely different voice. And the fact that it continued into college, I'm like, there's so many people, like there are at this point hundreds of people who knew me, interacted with me in person and watched my videos and just said nothing about the fact that I was using a different voice. And that cringes
it's
me the
like
fuck out.
It's like having a phone call voice, like a phone voice, except like
mine's so southern,
heard by so many people.
Yeah, you do kind of get really southern, because like I don't really have a southern accent. And
now you have it when you said that
accent. But like
I don't have a southern accent,
but when I'm on the phone, it's like, who is she? She grew up deep south. Like, so weird.
But I wonder, maybe they just thought like this is part of her persona, you know?
Maybe.
It's so funny though that you totally didn't realize. You were like, no, that was not a conscious decision on my part. That was just
100%. There was no thought going into that. I thought that was my voice.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Who is someone that is currently inspiring you?
Simi Moonlight. They're a fashion influencer in Brooklyn, and they just have like the coolest outfits ever.
I need to look her up.
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna look her up right now.
Okay, and the last one is, what's something people otherwise wouldn't know about you that you can tell us now?
This is hard because I put everything on the internet. So
yeah,
let me
why we asked you.
Dig my brain up.
Is there anything people don't know? We want her secrets.
What do I not talk about? I have weird knees. Nobody ever sees my full body, I guess. But if you, if they're like double jointed, so they go backwards. So if I'm like standing up
backwards.
Yeah. So if I'm standing up straight and my knees are locked, if you look at me from the side, it looks like they're going backwards.
My elbows do that. Yeah.
So I guess nobody would know that.
We have the tea.
Guys.
We're about to tell all your subscribers, be like, you never knew.
Listen to the end of the episode, because you're going to get some major tea.
Major
You guys tea. Don't even know. You thought you knew everything. You don't at all.
I've been hiding a big secret.
Maddie spills it all.
Maddie spills it all in this interview. What the fuck's up with Maddie and her niece? I'm not sure.
Find out.
Well, thank you so much, Maddie, for coming on. Do you want to let everyone know where they can find you, watch you, listen to you and your real voice, all that
stuff? I'm on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, sometimes on Twitter, all same username. It's just Maddie Drospec. And I would love to see you there. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Of
course.
And follow us at CKNY1213
and at Nina Barnett on Instagram and at Neens Barnett on TikTok.
And then the podcast at WTF Sub Pod. Thanks, guys. Bye.